Hello, and welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show, California's single best source for information on the issues of aging. What happens to us when we get older? How do we take care of mom and dad? Good morning. Glad to have you with us. Welcome to our show here in our 18th year on KFBK, going strong. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano. Glad to have you with us. As always, lots to talk about, lots to do, lots to think through, stories to tell, all that good stuff. Remember, I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. If you want legal advice, you should consult an attorney, preferably one that actually knows what the heck they're talking about. I have a California insurance license, a legal document assistant license recorded in Sacramento County. I am a notary. I am not securities licensed. I can replace a light bulb. So I probably forgot something else in there somewhere. Oh, and everything we talk about here is for information only and is my opinion only, although my opinion is correct a lot of the time. So glad to have you with us. As always, lots to talk about when it comes to the issues of aging. How do we take care of mom and dad? How do we make sense out of getting older? Lots of ways to get in touch with me. First is you can always just call my office. It's really simple to call my office. I mean, it really is simple. You simply dial the following number. Get a pencil and paper. Waiting while you're getting the paper. Okay, 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Now, if you're driving down the road, do not write this number down. Just memorize it. 800-999-8007. You can also go to my website, assetsandaging.com. Again, that's assets and A-N-D. Aging, A-G-I-N-G, assetsandaging.com. And there you can find all kinds of information from upcoming workshops to information to listening to my podcast every Wednesday at noon, a live podcast on a different subject. And if you scroll a little farther down my webpage, you will find my archived radio shows, my archived podcasts. You can sign up for my free newsletter, which I am working on my new one, my first one for the new year, even as we speak. The newsletter is free and keeps you up to date on the issues of aging, things like Medi-Cal changes, healthcare changes, long-term care changes, VA benefit changes, all the things that happen to us as we get older. You'll also find on my webpage a place where you can write questions and send them to me. And I will try to answer them. I will get back to you and I will try to give you an answer to your questions. At least I'll do the best that I can. So again, call me, 800-999-8007, or you can go to my website, bob@assetsandaging.com. And you can scroll around there and fool around there, and you can find all kinds of interesting information. I don't know. So what else? Anyhow, that's a good place to start. If you have questions about getting older, or how do we take care of mom, or how do we make sense out of things, this is a good place to be. Okay, I just have so much stuff, as always. I just have so much stuff to talk about. And I don't even know exactly where to begin. But where I think I want to begin is with a dictionary lesson. Lots and lots of people get confused. I get phone calls all the time. I get stuff all the time. Of people calling me up and saying, Bob, I don't understand Medicare, Medi-Cal, Medicaid. I don't understand a Part D, Part A, Part B, Part whatever. Okay? So let's do a little dictionary lesson on long-term care and the words Medicare and Medi-Cal. The first thing let's talk about is Medicare. I'm on Medicare. I'm over 65 years old. I'm on Medicare. If you're 65 years old, in most cases, unless you were a railroad worker, there in a separate thing sometimes, and or PERS, you're on Medicare. Or a retired teacher, sometimes they have different plans. Otherwise, your health insurance when you hit 65 is Medicare. You paid for that. It was deducted, the premiums for that, partial premiums, not full premiums. Most of the premium is on the taxpayer. It's like Social Security, folks. There's no Social Security lockbox. There's no Medicare lockbox. It's paid for with taxes. So, same thing with Medi-Cal, Medicaid. So when you hit 65, you become eligible for Medicare. And Medicare, there's Part A, there's Part B. One part pays for the hospital, another part pays for the doctor, and so on. Medicare, generally speaking, Part D, I don't know what happened to Part C, I forgot. Part D is prescription coverage. Medicare does not cover everything. It generally only covers about 80% of your doctor bill or your hospital bill or whatever. Not always. Remember, I'm trying to do this in general terms, not in specific terms as it relates to you. So the first thing is Medicare doesn't pay everything. So most people on Medicare, I have one, most people on Medicare have a Medicare supplement policy. And the premium from that can run $200 to $300 a month. And that Medicare supplement policy is what pays for the 20% that Medicare does not pay for. Now, some people can't afford, and I'll talk about this a little bit more in a minute, some people can't afford a Medicare supplement, so they're on both Medicare and Medi-Cal. But we'll leave that aside for a minute. Medicare is health insurance. It's a single-payer system, which is the U.S. government. It's a single-payer system. And if you're 65, in most cases, you qualify for Medicare. Now, there are some people under 65 who are on Medicare who are disabled. If you're on Social Security disability, you're usually on Medicare also. So Medicare is government single-payer health insurance paid for by the taxpayers. And I know everybody said, well, I paid premiums for Medicare. No, you paid some of the premiums. Current taxpayers are picking up the rest of the bill for you and for me and for other people. And that will continue to happen into the future. Same thing with Social Security. You have not paid 100% into either Social Security or Medicare. The difference is being picked up by the taxpayers. So Medicare is health insurance that you get when you're 65, or if you're younger than 65, that you can qualify for if you're disabled. And again, Medicare does not pay for long-term care. Bob, I was told Medicare paid for up to 100 days in a nursing home. No, it will pay for up to 100 days of rehab in a rehab facility. A lot of rehab takes place in a nursing home, but you're not there for long-term care. You're there for rehab. You're planning on going home. Medicare does not pay for long-term care stays in nursing homes. Medicare does not pay for assisted living. Medicare does not pay for in-home care. I know that gets very confusing, but Bob, I was in a nursing home and I was on Medicare. Now, you were receiving rehab in a nursing home. So again, gets a little convoluted. Medicare is health insurance that you get when you're 65. Medi-Cal. Let's talk about Medi-Cal a little bit, and what's Medi-Cal? Medi-Cal and Medicaid are basically the same thing. We just call Medicaid Medi-Cal in California. See, medical, Medi-Cal for California. It's our own cute little name for it. Different states have their own cute little names for it. Okay? But Medi-Cal is a taxpayer-funded program that you also paid into, because when you pay income taxes, some of that money is used to fund the Medi-Cal program. Medi-Cal, Medicaid started in 1965, if I remember right, under Lyndon Johnson. The program has been amended a couple times. It's a federal and state program. It's federal, mostly federal money, some state money, usually administered on a county level. That's why you go to the county Medi-Cal office, even though it's primarily funded with federal money, taxpayer money. We all pay tax. I pay taxes for it. I'm not on Medi-Cal. I've paid taxes toward Medi-Cal for 50 years. It's federally and state funded from tax revenue. And we all paid into it, including a lot of the people that are receiving Medi-Cal, especially those on long-term care Medi-Cal. There's a lot of different Medi-Cal programs. I'm not going to talk about all of them. There's all kinds of them. But what I want to talk about is long-term care Medi-Cal. Most people in nursing homes, I've been in nursing homes up where 98% of the people in the nursing home were on Medi-Cal. The average statewide is about 65 to 70% of the people in nursing homes are there, and they're being paid for by Medi-Cal. Not Medicare, Medi-Cal. And the reason why is because very few people can afford $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 a month for a nursing home. I have a client right now that's spending $35,000 a month on a nursing home because the spouse is on a ventilator. But most of the time, a nursing home is between $8,000 and $10,000 a month, and very few people can afford that. So the majority of people in a nursing home are on Medi-Cal. And contrary to popular belief, long-term care Medi-Cal found its home in helping to take care of middle-class people. It's a common misunderstanding that you have to be poor to get Medi-Cal long-term care. You do not. Most of the rules that deal with Medi-Cal long-term care come out of something called the Medicare Catastrophic Coverage Act of 1988, the Omnibus Budget Reconciliation Act of 1993, and the Deficit Reduction Act of 2005. Long-term care Medi-Cal is health insurance for nursing homes. Remember, I said Medicare doesn't cover nursing homes. Medi-Cal does, also a federally funded health insurance program, does pay for nursing homes. There are asset and income limits to qualify for long-term care Medi-Cal. Don't confuse Medi-Cal with the stuff that you can buy through Covered California or food stamps or other things. I'm talking about the Aged, Blind, and Disabled program, long-term care Medi-Cal. It's health insurance for people in a nursing home, and it was designed for middle-class people. Remember, when MECA was passed in 1988, the Medicare Catastrophic Coverage Act, nursing homes were $1,500 a month, $1,200 a month, $1,500 a month in 1988. And it was considered a catastrophe. Now, notice the name of the bill, the Medicare Catastrophic Coverage Act. It was considered a catastrophe if you went into a nursing home, and yet nursing homes were only, $1,200, $1,500, $1,800 a month. And that was considered a catastrophe. If it was a catastrophe at $1,500 to $2,000 a month, what is it at $8,000 to $10,000 a month? It's a really big deal, folks. Now, there's all kinds of statistics about how long people stay in a nursing home. I've heard anywhere up, the average is around 3 years. maybe a little bit less. A lot of people, though, only go in for 2 months and then they die or they, you know, whatever. Other people are there longer. I've had clients in nursing homes over 20 years. I mean, so what the average is, let's say it's a couple of years. In a couple of years, at $8,000 or $9,000 a month, we're talking serious money. And most people don't have that kind of money, so they turn to long-term care Medi-Cal, which was designed for middle-class families as health care to help pay for nursing homes. Now, again, there are some asset and income tests. They're broad, and in some cases, they can be changed by court order and some other things. So I don't want to get into the weeds here because the weeds will drive us crazy. But suffice it to say that for Medi-Cal purposes, a married couple can keep a house, not of any value, but of a lot. Okay, for the average person, they can keep a house. They can keep a business. They can keep their pensions and their IRAs and 401ks. In most cases, they can keep their life insurance policies, or their life insurance policies can be set up so that they can be kept. In most cases, in addition to all of that, a married couple is allowed to have today about $119,000 in cash. Depending on whose income it is, a married couple may be able to keep a lot of income. It depends on whose income it is, the person in the nursing home or the well person. And again, I don't want to get into the weeds, so don't hold me to exact numbers, but it could be a lot of money. And all of that can be increased in many cases by court order or by a court hearing, or in some cases a fair hearing, but most elder law attorneys I know prefer using a court order. The point is that there's a huge difference between Medicare and Medi-Cal when it comes to long-term care. Now, and this gets a little hinky, so bear with me. Another huge difference between Medicare and Medi-Cal is currently there is no recovery with Medicare. So if you go into the hospital and run up $1 million hospital bill paid for by Medicare, when you die, because you had a heart attack, let's say, when you die, Medicare doesn't get any money back. There's no recovery. Medi-Cal, however, if you go into a nursing home and you use a Medi-Cal, Medi-Cal does have the right to recover against either the person who was in the nursing home from their estate. Title 22 of the California Code of Regulations, Section 50961, lays out the rules regarding recovery. Now, in a married couple's case, they can't recover until both spouses are gone, but they do have the right to recover from revocable trusts. They have the right to recover from joint tenancy, from tenancies in common, from community property, from the recipients of a decedent's estate through a will or a trust. The state of California and other states have the right to do that by federal and state law. So the house, for instance, earlier on when I said for eligibility, the house in most cases doesn't count. The house does count when it comes to recovery. For a single person, the rules are a little bit different. For a single person can keep a house about $2,000 in cash and $35 a month in income. The rest of it would go to pay the nursing home costs. In some cases, excess money can be protected, but that's not the subject of this show. The subject of the show another time will be on how you can protect what you have if you're over those limits. But it's important to understand the difference between the two, because a lot of people are under the mistaken impression that Medicare will pay for their nursing home stay because they've heard that it'll pay for 20 days or 100 days. the magic word in all of that with Medicare is up to, and it's not long-term care, it's rehab. I have three clients right now that went into the nursing home for rehab, but guess what happened? They weren't able to rehab to the point where they could go home, so they will now be in the same facility on their own nickel or Medi-Cal because they're not in rehab anymore. They're now in custodial care. They're in long-term care. The understanding the difference between those two, I think, is one of the most important things that you can do. It really impacts families in a negative way. I was with a family the other day that mom was in a nursing home for 6 years and they lost everything because they didn't understand. They were told that if they went on Medi-Cal in a nursing home, they had to spend everything down. No such rule exists, folks. It never has existed. Many of people have heard there's a 5-year look back, not in California. Maybe someday, but not in California right now. There are lots of things that people have heard when it comes to Medi-Cal and long-term care that are not true. What is true, it's important for you to understand the difference between the two and to begin to plan for the possibility of the latter, which is needing a nursing home stay. It's really important to understand, because understanding that is what keeps people from losing everything when down the road they need to go into a long-term care facility or a nursing home. It's important, you know, definitions can be dry and boring sometimes, and I'm not trying to bore you, but understanding the difference between the two is a really, 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 add some more really, big deal. If you need help in this area, if you're struggling with a family member now and you're not sure how to figure all of this out, give me a call, 800-999-8007. Look for my ads in the B for an upcoming workshop, or go to my webpage, assetsandaging.com. Again, assetsandaging.com. And you can read about and see when my next upcoming workshop is and how you can sign up. It's important that you begin to understand how you deal with this. It's important to make sure you have the right documents in place. It's important, children, that you have a grasp on what mom and dad have, because you're the ones that are going to be making the decisions about all of this in most cases, or in many cases. It's important you understand the difference between those two words. Those of us on Medicare, and I'm one of them, are used to going to the doctor and doing what? What's the first thing they ask for? Our Medicare card. And we're used to pulling it out. And we give them that, and we give them our Medicare supplement card, and the bills for the doctor or the hospital or whatever go away. That's not true with nursing homes. When you go to that nursing home and you pull out your Medicare card, it's not going to pay for anything, because Medicare doesn't pay for long-term care. You do, or Medi-Cal, or if you're lucky enough to have long-term care insurance, it might help. It's an important distinction. You can't allow yourself to get the two words confused, because that confusion could cost a family literally everything they have. So again, Medicare, health insurance I get when I'm 65 years old, pays for doctors and hospitals and meds, but does not pay for long-term care. Medi-Cal and Medicaid are same thing. In California, we call it Medi-Cal. Medi-Cal does have a program, the Aged, Blind, and Disabled Long-Term Care Program, that does pay for stays in nursing homes. Yes, there are asset and income limitations and qualifications. All of that stuff has to be met, but it can be done. If you're not sure what you have, give me a call. Check out the website. Listen to a podcast. Better yet, get to one of my upcoming workshops. You can find out by checking my webpage for upcoming workshops. I'll be announcing them as we go along. I'm in the process of setting them up for the year. So check my, if it's not there the first time you check my website, go back and check it again a couple days later. It may be back up. Or better yet, sign up for my newsletter, because you'll always know how to get a hold of me and when workshops are coming via my newsletter. And again, you can sign up for my newsletter online at assetsandaging.com. Nobody needs to lose everything just because at the end of their life, they had the wrong disease. Nobody needs to lose everything just because at the end of their life, they needed help paying the astronomical cost of long-term care. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Got a little break? We'll be back right after the break here on Assets and Aging. Don't go away. Hello, and welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. So glad to have you with us. Lots to talk about, as always, right here on the show. In the first half hour, we talked a little bit about the difference between Medicare and Medi-Cal. And now I'd like to take the rest of our time today to talk about something that I also think is misunderstood, and I want to talk about definitions. And welcome back again. This is Bob Scrivano, your host. Glad to have you with us. Remember, you can always reach me by calling my office, which is 800-999-8007, or the best place is to go to my website, Assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, assetsandaging.com. assetsandaging.com, and you can go there and you can check out upcoming workshops. You can email me, you can sign up for my newsletter, you can listen to my podcasts every Wednesday live at noon, and you can listen to that right on my website. You don't have to go anywhere else. And every week it's about a 15 minute long podcast, and I talk about one subject every week, short and concise and informational. And if you can't join me on Wednesdays for the live podcast, again, they're available on my webpage. You can go down, scroll down the front page of my webpage, and they're archived along with my radio shows. Lots of information, lots of places to go. So again, listen to my podcast, go to the webpage, and then continue to listen to this radio show every morning, every Sunday morning on KFBK. Or again, you can listen to my archived radio shows on my website, which is Assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, and A-N-D-A-G-I-N-G.com, assetsandaging.com. You can send me an email with questions. You can sign up for a workshop. You can do any of those things, or just get more information. Okay, we're doing definitions today. Today is definition day. In the first half hour, we spent talking about the differences between Medi-Cal and Medicare. They're two really, really, really misunderstood terms. And I think it's important to understand what they mean and how they differ. So we talked about that in the first half hour. And again, if you didn't catch the first half hour, you can go back and listen to it on my website. And after this show is done, I'll post this show up on my website, and you can always listen to it there. I want to now talk about the difference between words that get bantied around, because when we talk about long-term care can happen in lots of different places. The most common place that long-term care happens is not in a nursing home. The most common place for long-term care to happen is at home. Most people start out by receiving some form of long-term care at home. It could be a caregiver, my spouse, my husband, my wife. It could be a daughter or a son or a grandchild. It could be a professional caregiving agency. It could be my friend. It could be my partner. It could be whoever it could be. But it's important to understand that most long-term care actually happens at home. And I think most people would agree, if I could ask most people, if you had to get sick, where would you like to stay? I think most people would agree and would say, you know, I want to stay at home. I don't want to go to a nursing home. I don't want to go to a facility. I want to stay at home. I want to be at home. I think, me included, I think that would be most people's wish. The reality is, though, that home is not always the best place to be. First of all, it's the most expensive place to be. 24-hour, round-the-clock. I have a client right now receiving round-the-clock care, and it's $536 a day. $536 a day. I'm going to take my little calculator, and I'm going to do 536 times 30, and that comes out to $16,080 a month. So home care, it can be the most expensive form of care. Now, some of you will say, well, my spouse will take care of me. Okay. Let's take a typical example. We have 80-year-old dad and 78-year-old mom. And dad is a strapping 180 pounds, and mom, dripping wet, weighs 110 pounds. And let's make it more interesting, and dad has had a stroke, or fell and broke his hip, or whatever. How's mom going to get dad in and out of the shower or the bathroom? How's mom going to get dad up off the floor when he falls down? What do you think is happening to mom's health while all of this is going on? Everybody wants to stay at home. I want to stay at home. You want your mom and dad to stay at home. You've probably made the promise to somebody, don't worry, I'll take care of you at home. But the reality is that in a large percentage of cases, the caregiver's health winds up being damaged. In fact, in one-third of the cases, the well spouse dies first. Now who's going to be the caregiver at home? If mom has a stroke taking care of dad and dies, who takes care of dad who has dementia? Well, Bob, we didn't think about that because, you know, dad and mom wanted to stay at home. So we went along with their wishes, and now we don't know what to do because we don't know who's going to take care of dad. And oh, by the way, he wandered out of the house last night looking for mom. So everybody wants to stay at home. But it's not always possible financially, and it's not always possible physically because of who the caregiver is. Now, given the resources, and if we had a professional caregiver, Or a really healthy child or somebody that could do this. But even children that I've talked to that have taken care of their mom and dad, after a period of time, are just literally physically worn out. It's not that they want to be. It's not because they don't love their mom and dad. It's not because they don't care. They're just worn out. And it's because we never gave ourselves the option of having any form of care other than at home. We just always said, if anything happens, it's going to happen at home. We're not doing anything else. It's going to happen at home. And that's not always the thing that we want to have happen. We don't always want to have it. It's not necessarily what we can always do. We just can't sometimes. But home care is where everybody wants to be, and if you can, then that's where you should be. If you can afford it and you have the right caregiver and you have the right set of circumstances, then it can be a really good thing. The second most common form of care is commonly called assisted living. And assisted living can take, and in that I'm going to throw what's called independent living. But assisted living and independent living take place outside the home. Independent living is kind of like being at home. We'll have a little apartment somewhere. They're in a facility, nice place. I have lunch there, but I pretty much take care of myself. I have my own car, but it's just not safe for me to be at home all the time, and I don't want to cook meals or you know whatever. And sometimes caregiving actually happens by one spouse with the other spouse in independent living. Independent living runs anywhere from, oh, I don't know, $2,500 to $3,500 a month. And Medi-Cal doesn't pay, by the way, but Medi-Cal doesn't pay for home care. Medicare doesn't pay for home care. VA will help a little bit with home care. With independent living, nothing pays except you. Then the next level is assisted living, which also takes place outside the home. You've seen lots of assisted living facilities around. They look like big apartment buildings. They clean the apartment. Maybe somebody comes up and helps dad take a bath. And then there's three meals a day and, you know, those kinds of things. Many people in assisted living don't drive. So a lot of assisted living facilities have a van or a transportation of some kind to the bank or to doctor's appointments or, you know, to whatever it is. Assisted living runs anywhere, again, depending on the size. Is it a studio? Is it a two-bedroom? Remember, in any kind of institutional care, every time somebody touches you, it costs more money. But anywhere from $3,500 to $5,500 or a little more a month for assisted living. That's regular old assisted living. Now, there's another interesting phenomenon that you'll see called memory care. Memory care is a form of assisted living. Most memory care happens in what's called a secure or a locked unit in assisted living. And by secure unit, I mean that the people inside that unit can't walk out the door. You usually need a code to get into that wing of the facility. It's usually for people with dementia, those kinds of things. If you're in assisted living in a memory care unit, you can easily spend $5,000 to $8,000 a month or more for memory care. Now, what pays for assisted living? Well, the primary payer is you. Or if you had long-term care insurance, it might pay for assisted living. The VA might help for a veteran or the surviving spouse of a veteran. And Medi-Cal doesn't pay for assisted living with one small little variable called the waiver program, which I'm not going to go into. There's another form of assisted living that isn't talked about a lot, but can be a really good alternative. There are little residential care facilities. They hold a maximum of 6 people. In Sacramento County, last time I checked, there were over 400, maybe 500 of them. Boarding cares or residential care facilities look like any other house in the neighborhood. I'll guarantee you there are some in your neighborhood and you just don't know about it. There are lots of them around where I live. And again, they look like any other house in the neighborhood. You can't tell them from another house. They look like the house next door. And they can hold up to 6 people. It's not a zoning issue. They can be in a regular old residential neighborhood. They work out really, really well in some cases. They're licensed by the state. The people that work inside them, there are no nurses on duty or anything. They're just people who are employees working there. And there are some really good ones, and I have to tell you, there's some boarding cares that are not really good. And this is one of the places where I recommend, I have people I can recommend you to that do placement, that know the good ones from the not-so-good ones. And there are some really good placement agencies around that are on the up-and-up and do a really, really, really good job. And I know most of them. So boarding care can be another form of assisted living. Again, a board and care will run, sometimes you can find two beds in a room, so you can go anywhere from $2,500 to $5,000 a month or a little bit more in a board and care, residential care facility. Now, what pays for that? Well, the primary payer is you. If you have long-term care insurance, it might pay. There are some VA benefits that might be available to a veteran or the surviving spouse of a veteran to help pay for board and care. Medi-Cal does not, and Medicare do not pay for board and cares. It's as simple as that. So we've covered the from the least restrictive so far, which is home, although you can have people who are very restricted at home because they're receiving 24-hour-a-day care and they can't go out. So home care is one level. Most people who receive long-term care, doing a little review here, get it at home. The next level up is independent living, which is like an apartment, but maybe they have a shared meal, have a dining room. Maybe somebody comes and cleans your house. But you're kind of on your own, and there's nothing that pays for that except you. Then there's assisted living, which can consist of the kind of place most people think when they drive by, which looks like a big apartment building. And then the smaller ones, which are residential care facilities, which are like any house in the neighborhood. Assisted living, Medi-Cal doesn't pay generally. Medicare does not pay. Your Medicare supplement does not pay. Assisted living is generally paid for by you or the family. Long-term care insurance, if you have it, or in some cases, the VA may help out a veteran or the surviving spouse of a veteran with a little bit of money. And then the place that most people think of when they think of long-term care is a nursing home. In Sacramento, I have encountered them recently, but there's probably 35 to 40 nursing homes in Sacramento County. There are nursing homes, I forget, I used to know the number, how many there are statewide, there's a lot. Most of them are owned by chains, large chains of nursing homes. Some of them are owned by people that own four or five, and once in a while, you'll still run into one that is family owned or privately owned by an individual or a family or something like that. That has become more and more rare for lots of reasons. They're expensive to run. Nursing homes get sued regularly. There are groups of people and organizations that make their living suing nursing homes and caregivers and that kind of stuff. So most nursing homes now are no longer owned by families or small groups. They're usually owned by large chains that are interstate, sometimes national, that kind of stuff. Nursing homes provide 24-hour-a-day licensed care in which there's always a licensed nurse or LVNs or LPNs. They're run by, in addition to the facility being licensed, most of the people working there are licensed, either LVNs or LPNs or nurses, registered nurses. Most facilities have a doctor that makes regular visits. Some of them have dentists that come around. A lot of them have psychotherapists that come around that help. Some of them have beauty salons and that kind of stuff. But nursing homes generally provide 24-hour-a-day licensed care. The average nursing home bill in California is, on average, between $8,000 and $9,000 a month. And what pays for nursing homes? We talked a little bit about that in the first half hour, but let's talk about it here again for a second. pardon me. Nursing homes are paid for by the primary payer is Medi-Cal, but long-term care insurance pays for some nursing homes. Veterans benefits do not pay for nursing homes. And Medicare and Medicare supplements do not pay for nursing homes. Again, the primary payer is Medi-Cal, and we talked about that in some detail in the first half hour of the show. Those are kinds of the levels of care as we get older. Again, in-home care, which can be the most expensive form of care. Then the next the next level of care happens outside the home, which is independent living. And then a little bit beyond that, you find assisted living, which can take kind of two forms. Pardon me. One is the, I'm going to take a little drink of water here. Which is the bigger facilities, like looks like an apartment building, or houses in the neighborhood that look just like any other house in the neighborhood. My mom, when she died, died in a residential care facility, on hospice. So there are lots of different levels of care. Figuring out how we're going to pay for those becomes a real issue. And then figuring out for all of those, and I've talked about this before, and I always talk about this, as you go through these levels of care, and you think about your own family, or your mom, or your dad, or whoever it is that you're concerned about, as you go through all of this, you have to determine, what do I have that is available to pay for this? Remember, the two questions I always ask people are, who's going to take care of me? So I just kind of went through the who's going to take care of me, either at home or assisted living or independent living or boarding care or nursing home. Then it's, how do I pay for it? So now you have to look around. And by the way, some people go through all of those. They go from they go from living at home to independent living to assisted living to a nursing home. Some people make it through all of them. Then as you begin to look around, you look around and you say, okay, I want to be here. And by the way, let me backtrack. Something just popped into my mind. Home care is not always the best place because of a lack of socialization. Sometimes assisted living or independent living can be a much better choice for families than staying at home. First of all, staying at home puts a tremendous amount of stress on the well spouse. And secondly, staying at home, I see a lot of people who are staying at home who do nothing but sit in the recliner all day long and watch TV. There's no socialization. They don't talk to other people. They don't have conversations. They don't get involved. They don't, have reading groups where they read together or play a poker together or games or eat together. They spend their entire day in isolation at home. So just as an aside, home is not always the best place. So as families go through and look at all of this, and we're trying to figure out how we're going to pay for this, you have to look at everything you have, not in terms of what you have. Okay, I've got $100,000 in the bank. That's just a lump sum of money. Or I have a house that's worth $200,000. That's a meaningless number. The issue becomes, what's the long-term care value of my $100,000 in the bank? So if I go into assisted living and I'm getting $2,000 a month of salary and I have $100,000 in the bank and the assisted living is $5,000 a month, well, I know I have $2,000 because I get that in income. Where does the other $3,000 a month come from, or another $36,000? So if I have $100,000 in the bank, my $100,000 will last me about 3 years if I'm in assisted living that costs $5,000 a month in that little scenario. But what if what if the assisted living is $7,000 a month and I have $2,000? If I'm living at home and my primary asset is my home, how do I use that to pay for a caregiver who's coming to my house every day and that it's costing me $6,000 a month for a caregiver? I try to get my clients to look at what they have, not in terms of what they have, but how long would it pay for long-term care? So if your mom couldn't live at home anymore, if she had to go to assisted living, and we had to use the value of the house to pay for care, If she was in a nursing home at $100,000 a year, how long would her house pay for that care? Or if she was in a memory unit at $8,000 a month, how long would the value of her house pay for that care? So I want you to begin to think in terms of who's going to take care of me and how am I going to pay for it. But when you determine what's the appropriate level of care for yourself or your mom or your dad or your grammy or your grampy, you have to look around at what they have and figure out how long will that pay for care, and then what benefits are available to me to help supplement what I have so that I can keep mom or dad or myself or whoever it is at the softest level of care possible. Give me a call, 800-999-8007. Get in to see me. The consultation is free. Or you can go to my webpage, assetsandaging.com. Again, assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, and A-N-D, aging, A-G-I-N-G, assetsandaging.com. And you can go there and you can sign up for a future workshop. You can make an appointment. You can send me an email with questions. And then you can always listen to this show. You can catch my podcasts on my website. You can listen to my archived shows on my website. But at the end of the day, the reason it's Assets in Aging, California's best single resource for the issues of aging, this is where you need to be. Get in to see me, bring the family, bring the kids. If they can't get in to see me, within reason, I'll go to your house. The appointments are still free. But you need to begin to plan for this and take seriously the fact that we're all getting older, we're all becoming more frail, our moms and our dads, our grammys and our grampies, us, and at some point in our life, we may need help. 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007. For Assets in Aging, have a great day. Bye-bye.